You are in the course, Satanism 101. This is one of the courses from Shatter the Darkness, what we call Theology for the Third Millennium, or a Third Millennium course. We believe it is cutting edge. Now listen, if you've got the notes with this, since this is kind of an introduction to the entire course, we've offered it out freely to everyone to kind of listen to the introduction and hear about the course. And we just encourage you to take a look into it. And we think that it's very, very important, not because of the past, but also because of the present and the future in the development of the satanic agenda. So the Lord bless you and strengthen you. There are researchers that will listen. There are students who will listen. And we also know there will be Satanists and Luciferians and others who will listen. So we pray that there would be a sense of providence in your life that will be occurring as you do listen. We trust that there is supernatural activity, of the good kind coming to you, because the prayers for you and this course are have been lifted up and laid out. I love what it says in the book of Psalms. There's a verse there that says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." Third Millennium Course, Satanism 101. If you do have the course and the notes for enrolled students only, let me go over the content page just real quick. We're teaching this because we have a history over the last 25 years of dealing with the satanic agenda, dealing with Satanists of different varieties, dealing in the area of deliverances and hundreds of prayers and, sessions with individuals for freedom from the dark side. So I want to encourage those that are listening to realize that this course and this material, it's not just a matter of information. It's not a matter of conspiracy. It is a matter really of the clash of civilizations, in the sense that God is operating and moving in history to redeem and reaching out to every single heart in life. But we also know there is another side to this. And this is where, again, biblical Christians need to really grip biblical truth and not miss all of biblical revelation. Yes, God has an agenda. God is moving forward. God is doing what he's doing. But God has also revealed the strategic pieces of the satanic agenda that we are supposed to know about and be able to be prepared and also use for warning. Well, we'll take a look into all this as we look into this entire course. The course front page on the notes, you'll notice that I have a copy of Tom Wedge's book, The Satan Hunter. And I just thank the Lord for Tom. Years and years and years and years ago, again, by God's providence, we met up with Tom Wedge and had him come up and do a number of conferences and teachings and so forth. Met with him, ate with him, been to his home, and he to mine. And we also was taken by Tom into the police academy a number of times and to DefTech for training and getting advanced training in occult crimes. And so I just want to say that he was a pioneer back there in the end of the 80s and through the 90s. His book was used in law enforcement all over the place. And I think that it's very important for us to know that his book was kind of a foundational level. He was on television with numerous media individuals and so forth. Hundreds and hundreds of law enforcement individuals were trained as he taught in academies all over. And then others had built upon that and broadened his work. And so we're just saying we thank God for Tom Wedge in the past. Actually, Tom Wedge also was flown out to California and by Anton LaVey himself. Anton LaVey being the founder of the Church of Satan and the writer of the book, The Satanic Bible, and met with him and had dinner and discussed with Tom, and even told Tom that he appreciated his book, The Satan Hunter, because it gave accurate information about the differences in types of Satanism and the differences between Wicca and pagan and so forth, and that Tom was at least fair and accurate in giving that information out. Now, in my personal belief, because I know how the dark side works many times, I also believe that possibly curses and other things were done at the time. Well, let me touch on the contents page. Those that are just listening to the introduction, you can go to the Shatter the Darkness website, shatterthedarkness.net, and you can take a look at, click on concerning the new course, and you'll look over. These are the subjects that will come out. It'll be a total of 23, maybe 24 altogether. This one is called Origins, and we'll go over that in just a few moments. Chapter 2, or the second session, is Signs and Symbols. The Demons Are Dancing. Number 3, Biblical Revelation on Satanism. Number 4, Satanic Powers Are Real. Number 5, Psycho-Satanism. Number 6, Self-Styled Satanism. Number 7, Dabblers Are Dangerous. Number 8, Popular Satanism. Number 9, Traditional Satanism. 10, Elitist, or like Setism, Satanism. We'll explain that in 10. 11 is Real Luciferians. 12, Satanic Worship. 13, Satanic Rituals. 14, Satanism in the Web. 15, Satanic Crime. 16, Satanic Ritual Abuse, an introduction at least. 17, Weaponizing Satanic Powers. 18, Getting In and Getting Out. 19, Does God Love Satanists? And 20, Satanic Masquerade. Morphing Supernatural Technology, we'll touch on. 21, The Judas Project. 22, The Satanic War on God, the Church. And 23, The Black Awakening, or The Great Chaos, Revolt, and Satanism. So if you are into this course at all, or if you're just simply listening to the introduction, we are on page 1 now of Satanism 101, Session 1, called Origins. Point number 1, Satanism. We're going to go over just a touch of history and so forth, A, B, and C, history, current affairs, and the future events. Number 1, history. I want you to hear, I think that so many realize that what has occurred, well, all the way, listen, as you go back to Sumer, as you go back to the ancient days, as many individuals now are going to what they call forbidden religion or forbidden history and studying the ancients prior to the flood. And what they're digging into is some of the most incredible, deep and broad level of contact with the demonic powers, with the gods, small g, the ziggurats of the old that they're finding in the world around us today, off the coast of China, Cambodia, and South America, and other places, similar to the work of the pyramids. We're going to find that there was massive human sacrifice, the shedding of blood, the offering of humans to the gods, small g. That's what a ziggurat was all about, coming to the top so that the god or the demon god or the being can come down and there be appeased, and that powers could be drawn. And this is in connection with the Nephilim of Genesis chapter 6. This is in connection with what they did in knowing how to draw more powers. So it's very important for us to understand the past, and not only in extra-biblical literature in studying this. This can be done both in Old Testament and in New Testament. When there is deep studies by Clinton Arnold on the biblical book of Ephesians, as archaeology is being unearthed there, and all of the scrolls and materials, and so they're kind of resurrecting some of the old, the very old doorways that dealt with powers, magic with a K. The drawing of powers, the belief system in spirits, and having amulets, and doing spells and conjuring and so forth. So that's and obviously in the biblical revelation, the book of Acts, it's in Ephesus where when people received Christ and the power of God came, that many people came forward on their own voluntarily, and they burned the ancient scrolls, things that opened the doors and that drew and summoned the demonic side. We go back to the Old Testament, and I think if you take time in this beginning study to study in 2 Kings chapters 21, 22, 23, we see a change in the leadership of Jerusalem, of the oversight of the Israelites, and we see that Manasseh comes to power. And that's a problem. When Manasseh comes to power, we have an incredible problem because we see him opening the doors to all the starry hosts, literally to everything he could get his hand on spiritually. Light level at first, and then it got darker and darker and darker. And listen, this is part of the biblical revelation, regardless of who you are in background. The biblical revelation is that when you begin to open the doors to lighter level spirits, it leads to the entrance of other spirits. No demonic presence likes to come in by themselves. They need others to gather others, to gather strength and power. If one gets a doorway in, they want others to come in also. If you understand how they work, you understand how these things occur. In that day, you'll realize that it may have begun with just the seeking of powers, the looking at the stars, the literally occult use of astronomy, the idea of astrology, the occult use of conjuring, calling upon, guiding one's life by the stars in an occult sense. And again, much of this was handed down. And I want to say this, you know, everyone probably needs to read the Book of Enoch. I probably had to do a one-hour session just on that alone. But the Book of Enoch, the prophecy of Enoch, quoted by Jude 3 times, well, the Word of God attests to the Book of Enoch as a prophecy, the prophecy of Enoch. It is extra-biblical in the sense that it wasn't included in the canon, but it is not a pseudepigraphic writing. It is not a false writing. It is the prophecy of Enoch, and it is every Christian should read and study it in light of Scripture. And you're going to find that the prophecy of Enoch backs all of Scripture, and Scripture attests to the truth that's found in the prophecy of Enoch. Now, the details in that book of Enoch is they're alarming in some sense, they're incredible in some sense, but much of it will deal with the Nephilim, that is the demon-human hybrid. The Watchers, the B'nai Elohim, came down, a certain class of angels that were meant to oversee the earth and do their job, but they were part of the fall, and they were corrupted, and they literally, according to Genesis 6 and according to the Book of Enoch, they both agree, came down and took the daughters of men, and they had sex with them. Now listen, this went not only in the sense of rape, but please understand that as the human race was degraded up to that time, the women also and men would seek the concept of incubus and succubus. I did a one-hour session in the course that we teach called Satanic Decadence and the End of Man. Because sexual decadence in the end of man, and because sexual decadence has a lot to do with the moral spiritual corruption of the human constitution, of human nature. And with that, doorways to the dark side can come in. The demonic does love sexual energy and the sexual process. Clearly involved in the mutation genetically of the human race in Genesis 6, which the Word of God reveals, and then again later. So it's good to study this and it's not going to be studied deeply in this course, but to take a look at Patrick Huron's book and others, Chuck Missler's book on the return of the Nephilim, and to take a deep look into this. Because as we read Jesus in the New Testament, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in these final days in the coming of the Son of Man, the return of Christ, which means that it'll be the most supernaturally decadent and morally decadent time in history. Moral decadence and spiritual decadence go hand in hand. And that is part of what the Spirit of God prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when it talks about when the Word of God talks about the secret power of lawlessness, the works, the supernatural operative power of Satan in bringing about the Antichrist, which he himself will be a counterfeit incarnation and he doesn't become the Antichrist. He's born that way. And a long history of bloodlines there. And so the underground dark side bloodlines have been rolling since the fall of the human race, since the days of Nephilim. They were there on the earth in that time, Genesis 6, and then again later, after the flood. So at the very least, we have Nephilim blood among us. And the occultist agrees. They all agree. The undergrounders really agree to this. And I know this is a heavy subject to get into now, but this is part of how the depth of Luciferian powers, development, and ultimately the Antichrist and his troops coming to power will be involved. So in Satanism 101, though we're looking over just the history issues right now, past, present, and future, please understand this plays, the past plays a big role in the present and in the future. So take a look again in 2 Kings 21, 22, 23. Do a study of Manasseh, how one individual opened the doors, which eventually led to him sacrificing his own son. There you have it. Human sacrifice in the presence of a demon god, Moloch. By the way, Moloch didn't die. Demon gods and goddesses don't die. They can be shut off at times, but they'll look for entrance again. And when we, the human race, open those doors again, that's why it's some archaeological digs are dangerous. Why do you think Josiah in those days, you know, destroyed the symbols, the demonized objects, the places of demon worship, the manifestation? Why do you think they were so totally, utterly destroyed? And they were, things were done in such a way that nobody would resurrect these objects that would have been demonized, these areas and so forth. But Manasseh, going deeper and deeper and deeper into the dark side, eventually was convinced to sacrifice, to slaughter his own son in to a demon god for powers. And we read the conclusion that innocent blood was shed from one end, of society to the other. That innocent blood was shed. So it wasn't just Manasseh. The light level spiritual stuff, new age spiritual stuff, leads to darker spiritual stuff, which leads to left hand path stuff, which ultimately leads to the human sacrifice, the desecration of a human body and person. But it also involves the idea of the drawing of powers, the entrances of the demonic realm into the human realm in transmuting everything and coming into rule and reign. So Old Testament to New, we're going to find that the biblical picture is that it all began as a spiritual war. Ezekiel 28 came to the human race. The human race, the pain, the blood, the rape, the war, the death, and all of this has its roots in the real fall of the human race. Yes, something is desperately wrong, and it does involve the human race did not fall into sin, nor did the human race originate sin. Instead, a satanic war came to the human race and engaged the human race, and we, with incredible stupidity, instead of being safe and saved and preserved by the word of God, rejected it and accepted the lie. We accepted a word in a satanic revelation and an encounter. And that's why the word of God says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that Satan is the god of this eon, this age, this time period. That's why we can read in 1 John chapter 5 that the evil one is in control of the whole world. And we can also read in the book of Revelation for future, the future issue is the great dragon. This is the idea of the full revelation of satanic presence and power, that he leads the whole world astray. Now, depending on who you are, you might be part of that prophecy, being led astray, being a part of that fulfillment. God sees and knows the future and interacts with the future far before it occurs. And God reveals this future accurately. And for those that don't know, God did this in the Old Testament with up to 300 prophecies in the first coming of Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, betrayed by Judas, one of his own company, betrayed with 30 pieces of silver, the resurrection from the dead 1,000 years in advance. So if you want to look at an accurate view of prophetic fulfillment, of God knowing the beginning from the end, predicting the future, and that every single one, every single prophecy becoming being fulfilled, then you will find a striking, incredible work of God. Now, you're going to find this true in the New Testament also, where already in the book of Acts, when the Spirit of God falls in power, Peter, filled with the Spirit of God, stands up and says, "This is that which the prophet Joel prophesied." And the fulfillment occurred right there on them, in them, in Jerusalem, as was foretold hundreds of years prior. Well, 2,000 years ago, predictions of the rise of satanic presence, power, manifestation of satanic religion, of satanic counterfeit, signs, wonders, and miracles. 2,000 years ago, God the Holy Spirit has given us strategic insight into the strategy and methodology and literal, actual future historical manifestations, not only of satanic presence felt, but in lives, in the level of being unparalleled in human history, unprecedented in human history, the level of demon possession, demon attachment, demon oppression in cities, territorial demonic presence, the sense of darkness felt in cities and places, territorial possession or ownership. We will see the rise, the resurrection of the old demon gods and goddesses, and the rise so that the world can be spiritually dirtied, and you will see corresponding to this, we're already touching on the future issues, you will see the rise of moral corruption for the sake of the spiritual blinding of man. Well, there's a number of books out there painted black by Raschke. There's a book called The Heart of Darkness that might be good to read and study into. For our side of the fence, our goal was to study just literally hundreds of books and materials, thousands and thousands of pages, hundreds of videos and materials in the last 20 years or so, just to read and see. The biggest issue was sitting down with Satanists themselves and read the Satan Hunters and the idea of like Tom Wedge and others in law enforcement and those who are really beginning to track it all down. And even to listen to the testimonies of those who have come out of Satanism and have begun to tell, what occurred. Also, you can obtain videos on the webpage if you get the course and you get involved in the course. The webpage itself will give you like the rise in devil worship, pagan invasion, Jeremiah films. Any of those would be absolutely excellent to take a look at. Many of those are now 20 years old. But they need to be looked at. They have very valuable information. Let's touch on current affairs also. Current affairs is in the sense like this. When I say current, we need to look over the last 40 years and see what occurred. If you go all the way back to the 30s and 40s, you see, and again, an incredible book I think should be read during this time that you're doing this study. It's called Hitler and the New Age by Bob Rozio. And that book gives a kind of parallel between the occultic powers that were received in pre-Nazi Germany and that secret societies, and eventually as that nation was literally infiltrated, supernaturally guided by dark presence, some of the most prolific occultists, some of the deepest, broadest, versed occultists ever, were developed in those days. And the Nazi ideology was an occult ideology. It was a demonic revelation turned into political ideology. And we see that, as Bob Rozio says, and anytime you hear me repeat this phrase, I do try to quote him most of the time, that deception always leads to destruction. Spiritual deception will always lead. Manasseh, you can see the development there. You can see the development in how it works from light level, anything that involves the demonic. Once the doorway is open, if they get an inch, they want a foot. And if they get a foot hold, they may have your heart and your life and your soul. So the 30s and 40s, we see this incredible eruption in the battle for the human soul. There we see the world brought to war that was fueled by demonic revelation that turned into political ideology, that we find demonic inspired technology, even the beginnings of mind control, the splitting of the human soul, even the revelation of needing satanic troops, foot soldiers for a 1,000-year reign, a counterfeit to the biblical millennium. So when we see all of that, and when the war ended, where did all the demons go? Where did all the spirits go? Where did all those Nazis that were, you know, at the Wurzburg Castle, the Hall of the Dead, all those SS troops that were inducted into an occult society, military-based society, and the agenda continues. And so we see it erupting in the 50s with technology and the spiritual seduction of Russia, of the UK, the United States, military and science, and occult-oriented science begins to be unleashed throughout the 50s. Now, what happens next is in the 60s, let me just go over this quickly. The 60s is one occult writer. There's a book out there called The Occult Establishment, and in that book he says that twice in human history, there was, and again, I don't know if this, you know, recent human history in the last couple hundred years, but he mentions that there are two great proliferations of occultic literature. One was in pre-Nazi Germany, where all kinds of literature, occult-oriented literature, was laid out, you know, to the German people and in secret societies, and you know, you can look back into, you know, Rudolf Steiner and von Liszt, and you can look at Swoboden Verden, and you can look at numerous individuals, and I think that it would be good to read The Spear of Destiny. And take a look again at the occult, or Dusty Skylar's book, The Nazis and the Occult. Got Dusty Skylar's book's old, and if you can get a hold of one, is foundational in the revelation of occult-oriented demon revelation and demonically inspired political ideology and military weaponry, the weaponization of those days. But he says the second greatest proliferation of occultic literature was in the 60s in the United States. Now, this is coming again from an occult historian. And in the 60s, we do have this massive, massive release of stuff from the East, occult literature, the Satanic Bible, the Satanic Church, Satanism, drugs, all kinds of drugs that begin to bring, look at again the cultural, you know, war that began in the 60s. Look at the great relationship clash between youth and the adult, the subculture and the establishment. Look what occurred in the 60s in the United States, and you're going to find that behind all of the physical appearances of revolution, of revolt, of protest, of drugs, of the music, you're going to find spiritual influence, demonic ideology, demonic revelation, demonic inspiration, demonic influence throughout the 60s. This moves us into the 70s, where, again, drugs and all the stuff continues. We find that the new generation of young people that have gone away from their parents' religion are now opening up. You know, the Woodstockers, you know, are now opening up to New Age and many other, you know, alternative spiritual streams. And they're having babies galore out of wedlock and beginning to raise children. Families break down, strings of, rock stars that commit suicide or die in their own vomit, die of drug overdoses, things like that. We're finding that the Age of Aquarius, the Woodstock, a dream of love one another based on occult ideology and drugs was a deception that did lead to destruction. And we're going to find in the 70s a whole new generation of young people being raised that have no concept of church, didn't have a Bible to open up, that did not ever, you know, that just simply maybe had to look to their grandparents for any kind of, that's where the grandparents who knew Christ and were in churches were praying for their grandchildren. They were praying for the return of their children, but going over the top of the heads of their own children who left church, rejected God, joined and involved themselves in alternative spirituality and revolt and rebellion and so forth, that the grandparents were the ones that were pleading and praying for the salvation of grandchildren. When we come to the 80s, we find that, Time Magazine had an article with young people on the front of it said, America's Youth in Search of a Cause. So on the one hand, there's this ripping away from God by the infusion of demonic presence, power, literature, books, movements, and pseudo-religions to be involved in, meditation, you know, spiritual things to begin to take a look into. And of course, the Satanic Bible, when it was released in the late 60s, at one time there's a report that it outsold the Bible on college campuses across the nation for a while. And so we know that not only were alternative light level spiritual, like New Age issues, embraced, but we also know that a dark underground was beginning to be embraced as never before. And some of the old left-hand path, Crowleyism and so forth, began to be resurrected and used. On the other side, U.S. military and so forth had been digging into the, I call it again, the satanic technology of mind control, creating sub-personalities, energizing those personalities. The weaponization of satanic powers occurred in the 60s, in the 70s. We're showing up more and more in the 80s. And, you know, to the day that we're living in right now, probably they're 30 years, we're 30 years behind in knowing exactly what they're doing. But let me talk about the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, when individuals began to show up in psych wards and other places claiming that they were ritually abused in satanic covens, transgenerational, multigenerational, bloodline-oriented families. And so at the end of the 70s, a few began to come in, and then the 80s, thousands upon thousands. In the early 90s, I've quoted before, Holly Hector from Centennial Hospital, the Ritual Abuse Ward, in the book Satan and Associates by Wendell Amstutz, where I quoted her saying that by that time, in the beginning of the 90s, 2.5 million diagnosed cases of multiple personality disorder. She said then, and I quote for her material, that 87% of that was satanic ritual abuse. Can you imagine? Then in the early 90s, we're now saying that, maybe 1,500,000 individuals are showing up with satanic ritual abuse. By 94, in all of our research and public conferences that I have done and said since and written in materials, we estimated 5 million cases diagnosed. And here's our issue. Once we begin to do deliverances and crack down and find inside personalities in the substructures of occult-oriented personalities and learning that they've have ancient languages, powers, that they're created as satanic super soldiers and so forth, we're not going to get into that deeply here, but just to simply say that by that time we were estimating 4 to 5 million diagnosed cases. And in our involvement, with victims from psych wards and from every place that, you know, we were getting them in, hundreds and thousands, literally thousands of hours through the 80s and specifically through the 90s into the year 2001, 2, and 3, thousands of hours on our part was spent in engaging this underground, tracking this underground, going after this underground to learn what we can learn, kind of like the spies of Israel on the one hand, kind of like the Passion of Josiah in the Old Testament, to deal with it, and also ultimately, though, to bring salvation, healing, and freedom from the Lord Jesus Christ to victims. Because when we looked into the 90s, and here we now are in 2008, and the estimation not only from us in the early 90s was around 10 million, psychiatrist out of Canada, Colin Ross, in his book Project Bluebird, that gives kind of a secular and the secular psychological view of this whole process, but very important to read if you want to get into it. But he also quotes and puts in his book that he was also mentioning up to 10 million. So let's ask the question, where do they come from? Because they're in Europe, they're in the UK, Canada, United States. Where did all this come from? If there's only even 4 million, 3 million satanic ritually abused individuals, the question is, who did this? Father Shefton, in his book on Satanism, Satanism is Real, he says, he estimates 100,000 covens in the United States. Don't forget 2 Thessalonians 2. This is the secret power of lawlessness that it's already at work. This is the substructure. This is the underground. Think in terms of drug runners and the mafia and the secrecy there, then multiply the concept of secrecy, you know, a million times over. You're dealing with the core of the satanic power to keep things secret until the great revolt and the revelation of Antichrist. So we're having this development into the 90s. Books like Crime Warps talked about satanic crime being the crime wave of the 90s. Books and materials that begin to come out referring to the incredible number of satanic crimes. This is when we got involved with Tom Wedge, the Satan Hunter. The book was being, the materials by him was being, you know, unleashed in law enforcement academies, police academies, and books were being written, materials. Law enforcement was trying to catch up. They were trying to literally get develop cult crime specialists or satanic crime specialists in their departments. And that's about the time I was getting recruited into law enforcement to be a police chaplain on the one hand, but to teach on cult crime in the police academy under a particular, you know, corporal, law enforcement, you know, agent who turned out to be a high complex cult multiple that could speak five languages, had numerous personalities inside, connected to the rogue satanic side of military, and I won't go into a lot of that detail right now, but we're dealing with, again, a very deep underground. That's why when we talk about Satanists in many different levels, we're dealing here now, touching on this, with some of the deepest levels of that satanic power and so forth. Well, in the development. Well, we're into the third millennium. And the third millennium is dealing with, again, some of the most tragic events in world history. War, earth changes, hurricanes, floods. Even today, the report, because of an incredible, people will call it an act of nature, but 100,000 individuals, they're saying now, are dead based on this, I guess it's a hurricane, whatever it may be. I've only heard the reports this morning, but 100,000 dead. And so the Word of God predicted 2,000 years ago, not only earthquakes, which includes tectonic plates shifting under the ocean, which creates tsunamis, and there'll be massive earth changes based on creation decaying, Romans chapter 8. So there is a reason for this occurring. The satanic influx into this created order has helped bring this about. Creation is subject to decay, the Word of God says, based on the presence of sin, rebellion, and satanic presence. So we're going to see more and more. The third millennium we're into right now, where we see, you know, now, 7 billion people on the planet. We see the most incredible, unprecedented rise in left-hand path and dark side spirituality. Let's just touch on point C on the page 1 and continue this overview. Now, again, you can fill in a lot of that. B, current affairs, 60s, 70s, 80s, literally from the 30s on, you find this sequential development. You find principles like wherever the human heart opens the door, the presence of the demonic will come in. Matter of fact, they're knocking. They're looking to get in. And biblical prophecy reveals this factor. But when we see such an unleash of occult-oriented literature, the development of secret societies, and then begin to see the substructures. Listen, the idea of satanic ritual abuse and millions of victims that are right now, every psych ward, and I've been to the police academy to see the cult crime slides and all those kind of things, to see the bloody mess. When you think of Dahmer, everybody saw Dahmer and thought he was a crazed man, that he was eating people or whatever. That's, and having weird, bizarre sex. That's only the outward public view. When I was at Death Tech and Tom Wedge came in and books were bought and we got to look at the pictures of the apartment that Dahmer was in and the literal satanic altar made based on with made with human skulls and thigh bones and so forth. You got to understand that he was utterly saturated, demonized from beginning to end, and this is what led him down that path. But that is not what is brought out into society. So, point C deals with future events and developments. The trends. Keep looking at the trends. In some senses, my perception is this, that what occurred in the last, the end of the 80s through the 90s, it's almost like the underground wanted to suck in what was going on. Too much of their stuff was being leaked out. Too much of too many people were finding out. And so they've kind of tightened the bolts down on secrecy. It's not that they've gone away. It's that they simply pulled back. Like at the Bohemian Grove, where probably hundreds of victims, monarchs, others, satanic ritual abuse. How could it be in our nation that presidents and leaders and senators, wealthy individuals and others, can go out into the woods with secret service agents protecting and guarding and go to an ancient Moloch-oriented worship where it is claimed in the cremation of care that a effigy of a human being is literally thrown into the fires and burned right in front of all these leaders? Are they so stupid, spiritually apathetic, that they would sit and watch a dramatization of an ancient ritual? This tells me that they've already been mesmerized, influenced spiritually. What they really don't realize is that it is a real satanic ritual. It is a real human being from every report of every victim I've ever dealt with and other sources. A real human victim is used, and that powers are released. But where? On the individuals in the crowd. Presidents, governors, senators, the wealthy, military men and women. The powers are released. You want a clue to this? Do you want a clue? Revelation 16. Which gives a future, a insight into an actual future. It hasn't occurred yet. A triangulation, a ritual. If you want to understand how rituals work and how powers go out with targeted, focused force and agenda, the demons went out to perform miraculous supernatural ability to do what? Seduce the kings of the earth to gather their armies on the field of the great day of God Almighty, of the final battle. But it's a battle between the living Christ, the descent of the living Christ. You see this fulfilled in Revelation 19:19. As a matter of fact, you can go all the way back to Psalm chapter 2 and find 3,000 years ago, God already has spoken into the future. And I pray to God that the kings and leaders of Europe will be gripped by Psalm chapter 2, because God, 3,000 years ago, encoded a message. The Grotha, the writings, living words, and a warning to the kings of the earth, an invitation to the kings of the earth, was given 3,000 years ago. In Revelation 16, we see the powers behind the development of the largest, most sophisticated supernaturally empowered military army, the soldiers that will be drawn onto the field, where gathered, where all around Jerusalem, to do what? To stop the descent, the return of the living Christ. So for those who are soldiers, and for those who are in the Men Who Stare at Goats book by John Ronson, Colonel Shannon, Stubblebine, Alexander, Old Godlob, all those that were involved, DARPA, involved in the supernatural, you know, development of warriors, they're playing into the hands of the fallen cherub. The prophetic future is seen in the scriptures and the scriptures alone. It accurately reveals, and for you and I who are believers and understand the Word of God, this is probably the hour to study biblical prophecy as far as the actual linear step-by-step events, the frog-in-the-kettle approach of spiritual deception and moral decadence, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The development of wave after wave, each wave of spiritual deception becomes deeper, broader, stronger until the tsunami comes. Something's in the air. The spiritual tectonic plates have already shifted. And deception and decadence has already come to blind. And it's really nothing that on a human level could be done to stop it. This massive chaos, anarchy, bloodshed will come. And out of it, in their view, the Phoenix Rising, a whole new world order, satanic order, literally the satanic empire coming to power. Well, even Anton LaVey, in one of the books called The Church of Satan by Blanche Barton, their prophecies were that the satanic the Satanists would rise in the 90s and usurp the church, and that a whole new order of satanic worship would come about, and that the rotting corpse of Christendom, Corpus Christi, that's how they looked at the church, that it's simply a rotting corpse. They don't have any idea that Jesus said it's the church is indestructible. I don't care what damage you see going on in the church is indestructible, and God will use it in these days. And it will be here when Jesus returns to catch up that body of Christ. And that's something more we'll talk about. So look at the prophetic future. Page 2, we're going to go over that quickly. Simply say this. On point 2 of this first session, origins. We also have the issue in the late 90s and early on, satanic panic. Yes, I read the book Satanic Panic, you know, and by Hicks, and I read all the reports of Lanning and others that were saying that none of this was true, that there's no bodies, and there's no, well, all of that is not, you know, really that's the case. I see, I've been to the police academy, and I've seen the bodies on slide, hundreds of slides. I've seen the bloodshed, I've seen the satanic ritual sacrifice, and we also need to realize that you can't sit in an FBI office and just over the phone do your research and then come out with material saying there's nothing true. You know, there's no truth to this. Obviously there is, you know, and if you're a victim of satanic ritual abuse or you are ministering to people in satanic ritual abuse, you know that it's true, and you're dealing with the apex, the core, you're dealing with the most empowered secrecy in human history. This is empowered secrecy. This is a secret agenda, secret society beyond the Knights of Malta, beyond the Rosicrucians, beyond the Masons, beyond the OTO, beyond you know, the Trilaterals and the Bilderbergers and so forth. We're talking about now the going all the way down to the bottom of this cone, and you're finding the darkest and the most empowered secrecy. Not that it can't be cut through, but only by the authority of Christ, only by the incessant prayers of people who have a passion like Josiah did in 2 Kings. The reports that were coming out, skeptics that began to scream and cry, and also disinformation that began to be put out by some, And I've seen disinformation. People gave it to me in the 90s, books and materials and literature put out pages and pages of information that came out that were, on the one hand, proclaiming satanic ritual abuse, acting like they're exposing it, but also then bringing massive spiritual confusion and going so far overboard that literally it caused confusion in the body of Christ when these disinformationists were telling us that some of Christianity's greatest evangelists and Christian movements and people that were soul winners and so forth, that all these were head people in the Illuminati. Well, Jesus said, you'll know, listen, have we not learned this lesson? Jesus said, you will know individuals by their fruit. If they're bearing fruit, if they're winning souls, seeing people healed, proclaiming Christ biblically, and if they're seeing this fruit and actually seeing deliverances, people, demons kicked out of people, the skeptics in Jesus' day were trying to say he was doing it by the power of Satan. And Jesus set them straight on that issue. Kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So it's important that we seek the Lord for great discernment. We need great spiritual discernment. We need to be relying upon the Holy Spirit in greater ways than ever in history. But a combination of intensive, deep study of biblical prophecy, and I urge you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, how the old prophets did it. They did it with the intensity. They did it with the greatest care, with the Spirit of Christ guiding them to see the times and circumstances. So a complete yieldedness to the Spirit of God, a complete embrace of biblical prophecy deeply will give us Spirit-lit eyes to see the what really is going on in the culture around us. And then the application of Spirit-filled, power-filled evangelism that involves praying with authority against dark powers and unleashing the authority that Christ gave us, Luke chapter 10. If you're a Christian and you don't even know about the authority of Christ, you need to get there before you go further. And if you're going to get into this course as a whole, you need to be spiritually prayed up and ready and so forth. That's why we've recommended a few books. And I've recommended on this first webpage, the first page of those who enroll, that you will go to some of the free literature that we have on prayer mapping, spiritual authority, and things like that. Well, satanic panic, and they tried to, make fun of all those. We saw it on Geraldo, we saw it on Oprah, we've seen it on Montel, satanic ritually abused individuals. I mean, they're still in psych wards everywhere. Listen, the victims are still all out there. And now there's been a rise in development of centers all over the place that will begin to minister to and help reach out to these victims, because secular psychology cannot touch their ultimate healing and freedom. Satanic ritual abuse, we're into the hundreds of thousands, we're literally into the millions, and then we're also literally into the fact that probably a number of millions, I'll say it one more time, millions of individuals who have never been to a psych ward, they haven't broken down, they are what are called intact chosen ones. They have multiple personalities within them, sub-personalities, demonized, structured, laid down, waiting for what they call the Black Awakening. We're not going to get into that deeply here, we'll get into it, this is just the overview. The False Memory Syndrome Foundation in Philadelphia, fighting against everybody, suing everybody, going after anybody that's trying to get people out of the satanic covens and out of the satanic substructures of rogue military. Well, you need to do a little study on the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, which was founded by, or at least helped in the founding, which they wanted to go out and disprove all these stories, by two top CIA mind control experts, Charlie West, as they call him, and Dr. Orne. And again, you can Google that, look it up, and find information about it. The Satanic Crimes continue to this day. Tony Cal is still doing a great job, along with Dr. Reed, Gregory Reed. And there's still a number of people out there still doing it, uncovering it, and exposing it. Well, the other side of all the story is this. Point three on your first this first session, Origins. Ask the Satanists. Ask them. So many deliverances, again, hours and hours that we've dealt with, and whether, you know, from all kinds of backgrounds, but we've engaged the real demonic realm. We've engaged demons. And by the authority of Jesus, they have been ordered. They have had to tell how they got in and what they're doing. And we have listened to victims. So when I say ask the Satanist, which ones? Because, again, most Christians don't even have any idea of how many, let alone are they popular Satanist self-styled, are they the psycho-Satanists, are they real, the real transgenerational, bloodline-oriented Luciferians that really engage in and worship of Satan himself? Well, which ones? Now listen, in this course as a whole, we'll look at the differences as far as the manifestation. We understand the spiritual source is the same, but the manifestation of occultism, witchcraft, New Age, paganism, African style, and voodoo, secret societies, satanic groups, and Luciferians, you're going to see different levels of satanic seduction, satanic deception, satanic empowerment. You're going to see different levels for different purposes, but it all has one specific agenda. One stream that goes through all of those is to rail against the real Christ, reject the real Christ, to get people as blinded as possible from ever, you know, reaching the Word of God and having anybody reach them with Christ. The last thing we want to say in this session simply is this. There's no Satanism. There is no satanic agenda. There is no Luciferianism without Satan himself. Now, you can do a big historical study, and I believe the fella comes from either Yale or Harvard, one of those two, maybe Princeton, I forget which, really, Jeffrey Burton Russell. I don't have one of his books in front of me. I have all of his books, but he's written an incredible level of information on the history of the devil. I mean, just book after book after book in details and pictures in history and archaeological studies and manuscripts and, you know, different times in history in Europe and the United States and other parts of the world. And so there's a tremendous amount of information on that level of a historical, cultural, archaeological level to demonstrate real satanic presence. On the other hand, again, those who have been demonized and released from the demons realize how real it is. Anybody who believes the Bible, you know, at all, I mean, if you're a believer and you believe the Word of God alone, then you've got to understand from beginning to end, you know, that the, you know, the battle that began in the heavenlies, Ezekiel 38 or 28, that came here to the human race, the predicament that we're in, the reason Jesus died on the cross is because there's a spiritual war going on. And that spiritual war was initiated by and is continually led by the fallen cherub. You can call him Lucifer if you want to. In the Bible, Satan, the devil, the idea of adversary, the idea of, well, Jesus, you know, brought revelation. And let me just say this. You will never find anywhere outside of Scripture a more accurate, detailed, concise, pointed revelation and insight to the origin of Satan, the nature of Satan, the agenda, what he does, how he operates, what he's been doing in the history, what he did during the days of Jesus, how he operates in battle against the church and Christians, what we and our spiritual weapons are all about. And ultimately, the Spirit of God has laid out in the Word of God in prophetic element the exact work of the satanic agenda, of Satan himself, that he's real, my friends. And that if you are involved in getting into this course as a whole, and you're going to go through 23, 24 hours of sessions, materials, and literature, and notes, then I'm going to encourage you to realize something. Be prayed up. Know your authority. Have the armor of God on. Be the kind of believer that Jesus made you. Realize that greater is He who is in you than he who's in the world. Realize the incredible resource, power, and necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. Your need to be in prayer and to be watchful and alert and understand and be active in the mission of God, to realize that the Word of God is indestructible, as Christ Himself was and is indestructible, as was Israel, as is the church, both of divine origin, both with mission, both with an absolute indestructible nature behind it because of the divine origin. So Israel will never be annihilated. The church will not be annihilated, though there will be attempt. And the greatest bloodshed and destruction is yet to hit the human race. And it comes on the heels of the greatest deception in human history. So the demonic realm is targeting and has been and will so even all the more military, political, and alternative spiritual structures, and guiding them to this spiritual evolution of humanity, a transmutation. Satan doesn't want to slaughter them. He wants to use them. And maybe if you're listening to this first introduction that we put out for everybody to listen to concerning this course, that maybe you, let me ask you, who do you know? What power dwells within you? Where are you going to spend eternity? Do you know the power of God, the love of God, the healing of God, the transformation of the act of the work of salvation? Jesus did not die on that cross for nothing. If you're a New Ager, if you're into New Age concepts and alternative spiritualities and into psychic powers and whatever else, they pale in comparison to the truth. Do you want the cubic zirconium or do you want the diamond? Do you want the truth that leads you to the heart and the face of God, that brings you the empowerment, the protection, the authority, that moves you to a purpose and an agenda to reach the world, but which God is all about reaching the world, not willing that any perish. So if you're listening and you don't even know Jesus, He loves you, He died for you, He shed His blood, He wielded a power. And the Word of God says, whosoever believes on the name of Jesus, calls on that name, will be saved. Call on Christ. Give your life to Jesus. Ask Him now to come into your life. Surrender your life to Him. Renounce old dark powers, old spiritual doors. Renounce sins and the ugly things and the craziness of the drug world and everything else. And turn to the living Christ who died for you on the cross, who loves you, who's coming again. Lest you be swept away in the tide of satanic deception and the tide of the satanic agenda. This is Russ Dizdar, shadowthedarkness.net on the web. Every Sunday night at 11 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio. We do a 2-hour show. We invite you to come and listen, invite you to come and send email questions in ahead of time or during, or even call in. If you're interested in the course, again, go to shadowthedarkness.net. You'll just simply click on Theology for the Third Millennium, and it'll lead you to this course and how to go through PayPal and how to enroll if you want the entire course. Other than that, I trust by the providence of God, by the mercy of God, that He's reaching out. Believers, it is time to stand up, take up the cross, live for Jesus, be strong, and be the kind of empowered believer, luminaries, as the book of Philippians says, like stars in a darkened universe, to shine, holding out the word of truth. You are, Jesus said, the light of the world. So get out of those houses, get out of those beds, get out of those thousands of Bible studies, and get on the field, and by the compassion of Jesus, the love of Christ, the power of God, the authority that has been given to you, go out and begin to win souls left and right, snatching them, as the book of Jude says, from the fire. For the rest, I beg you, in the sight of God, give your life to Jesus Christ.